Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and the confessed attacker in Norway, Anders Behring Breivik, pleaded not guilty to the criminal charges against him in a closed hearing this morning. The judge closed the hearing to avoid giving Breivik a platform for his anti-Islam political beliefs. His 1,500-page manifesto on the need to protect European identity drew on the writings of the Unabomber and other U.S. extremists. So did the connections with this country go beyond political writings? And which comes first, the rage to murder or the political beliefs? To look at some of these questions as they relate to this attack and previous ones here and abroad, I'm joined by Heidi Beirich, Director of Research at the Southern Poverty Law Center, which monitors right-wing extremism in this country, and New York Times Washington Bureau reporter Scott Shane. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Shane, what are the political beliefs that allegedly motivated Breivik to massacre the campers and bomb the government buildings? How succinctly can we put them?
Well, I think what's striking is that many of his statements, even in this manifesto, which goes way beyond what he had posted previously on public websites, is not that different from what a lot of conservatives in Europe feel, and in this country, perhaps to a lesser degree, and that is that, fairly large-scale Muslim or unprecedented Muslim immigration into European countries is a sort of challenge to Western cultural values, to Christianity in some cases, to various aspects of what they consider to be Western life, and that politicians, liberal politicians, appease these Muslim immigrants and go along with their demands, and that multiculturalism has become a kind of almost a Trojan horse undermining Western society. You can hear all this stuff, out there in respectable forums, and that seems to be the underlying belief that this guy expresses. His manifesto, of course, goes much farther, and his actions obviously go much, much farther.
And how different, Scott, is that whole political ball of beliefs that you just described? How different is it in Europe than the United States?
Well, there's a difference, perhaps in the notion that there are parties that are very active that are specifically associated with those views in a number of countries that have made striking gains politically in recent years. Here it's sort of a perhaps a segment of the Republican Party or of the most conservative segments of the American political spectrum that have those views. What was striking about the manifesto and what I wrote about in today's paper was that Breivik picked up on a number of American bloggers, American websites that, as well as European, but American ones that have focused their criticism on Islam as religion, its principles, and have been fairly relentless in portraying Islam as a grave threat, an existential threat to the West and to the United States in particular.
And not to dismiss the idea that there's anti-Muslim feeling in this country, but I think that the nature of that in Europe, or the extent of it, with parties with these beliefs getting, more than 15% of the vote in Norway, and we've seen the clashes in Denmark and the Netherlands, it's got a different feel, and it's got a different size in terms of the population.
It does. I think that's true. But you might say that there's certainly the possibility that what has developed in this country is on the same path as maybe not quite as far along as in several European countries. And the flap over the Islamic Cultural Center and mosque in
right here in Lower Manhattan.
Near the so-called Ground Zero Mosque brought out a lot of those feelings. Yep. And as you know, there's been also attempts to change laws in Oklahoma and other places to ban Sharia Islamic law from being used in American in the American justice system, which some people would see as a fairly extreme reaction to a Muslim minority that's only 1 or 2% of the population.
Right, it's a way to denounce Islam as extreme if we consider that there's already separation of religion and state, and you can enact Christian law because it's Christian law, Sharia law because it's Sharia law, whatever, already under our U.S. Constitution. Well, let me bring Heidi Beirich in on this point. She's director of research at the Southern Poverty Law Center, which monitors right-wing extremism in the United States. And Heidi, where do you want to enter? Do you want to react to anything that Scott's been saying so far?
You know, I think everything Scott said is true. I mean, the big difference between us and the Europeans is they have a much larger Muslim population, which has fomented this, rise of parties on the far right that are driven largely by anti-Muslim or anti-Islamic views. In the United States, we have a much smaller Muslim population, and as a result, sort of an organized anti-Muslim movement has not evolved in the same way as it has in Europe, although lately, especially around the Park 51 project in Manhattan, we have seen the beginnings of that in the United States. It's actually interesting that this didn't happen, this kind of a reaction to Islam didn't happen after 9/11, and you have to give George Bush some credit there for having said specifically that we shouldn't blame all Muslims. But as of late, we've seen some segments in the Republican Party that have latched on to anti-Islam sentiment parts of the country, and especially around the Park 51 project.
Right, and one of the bloggers he cited is Pamela Geller, who writes a blog called Atlas Shrugged. Apologies or no apologies to Ayn Rand, I'm not sure which, in Pamela Geller's case. And Geller is a driving force behind the opposition to the Islamic Cultural Center in downtown Manhattan.
That's right. The Oslo shooter looked to Pam Geller, who runs what we call a hate site here at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Also a guy named Robert Spencer, who runs a group called Stop Islamization of America, which has ties to a similarly named group in Europe. So in some ways, the anti-Islam sentiment moved from Europe into the United States and is now represented in the case of Geller and Spencer. And these are people who were attractive to the Oslo shooter and that he cited numerous times in his manuscript.
By the way, Geller, just to be completely accurate, did change the tense of the Ayn Rand title. So her blog is Atlas Shrugs, not Shrugged, I guess, to indicate that this is still going on in the present. Scott Shane, you looked at some of the American writers who were cited by Breivik. One of them shut down his website this weekend, but you spoke to terrorism expert Mark Sageman, who said it would be unfair to blame those who write about the threat of Islam, and yet that the writings aren't cost-free. I think this is an important concept, because people who commit a horrendous act like this in the name of some political beliefs shouldn't be allowed to completely delegitimize debate over those beliefs.
Well, I think the parallel some people have drawn is that the argument of many of those in the kind of anti-Muslim blogging world is that statements in the Quran, statements by imams have led directly to, al-Qaeda and Muslim violence against non-Muslims. And what Sageman's point seemed to be was that the anti-Muslim sentiments may also, if they're going to say, in other words, that words can lead to violence, you may have a sort of mirror image situation here. I should say, however, that Robert Spencer put on his website today that, he has never called, and I quoted him as saying this, he's never called for violence, and that he feels perhaps the way the Beatles felt when Charles Manson said that he was inspired by a Beatles song. In other words, that, you know, there are extremists, there are crazy people, they cite all kinds of influences, and, you know, don't blame me when I didn't call directly for violence.
Right. Now, Heidi Beirich, early reports were that Breivik is a Christian fundamentalist. In fact, I noticed that the Times over the weekend actually had a headline, Christian extremist charged in Norway. And, you know, you see Muslim extremists used when there's a 9/11 or that kind of bombing or shooting. You don't see Christian extremist ever in headlines or in journalism in the United States. Hardly ever. I gather that there's some pulling back now from this idea that he was doing this in the name of Christianity. But he was doing it in a certain kind of in the name of a certain kind of Christian identity politics, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's he believed that, you know, Christianity and Western civilization are linked, and he felt like he was defending Western civilization, right, from this foreign onslaught. It's, you know, he even spoke in medieval terms of having, you know, supposedly gone to a meeting to reconstitute the Knights Templar. So I think when you think about Christianity in his case, you have to think of it as infused with the history of the West and the Roman Catholic Church and so on, and that's what he thought he was fighting for. He's a little different than a Christian conservative who might be engaged in extreme anti-abortion politics or something like that. But that belief that the West is under assault, that is something that you find in far-right circles here, also by conservative commentators, people like Pat Buchanan. They believe the same thing, same kinds of things as he expressed in that manuscript.
Let's take a call. Elaine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elaine.
Yeah, hi, guys. The hypocrisy of the left, especially the Southern Poverty Law Center, they only go after, quote, right-wingers. You know, Jared Lee Lawford, you all blamed on Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and Fox News for 10 full days, calling her a murderer. That's right, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And 10 days later, we find out he was a left-wing liberal, Jared Lawther, Arizona, went to the Daily Kos, KOS, Media, MoveOn.org, Media Matters. And we didn't hear anything about that. We didn't hear you say blame a Daily Kos.
And what do you think about this case, Elaine?
Hello?
Yeah, and I'm asking you.
He's not even a Christian. If you read more, these two people lied. Southern Poverty Law Center always lies and blames Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and that Mark Pollock, who, whatever. They're lawyers. They make up stories. They only go after so-called right wing. This guy was, if you read the whole manifesto like everybody did so far, you found out he is not a Christian. He didn't get his beliefs from being a Christian.
Well, Heidi, how much have you read? And you can defend your organization since you were directly attacked, but also on whether he's a Christian.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I need to resort to that they're all lies. You know, our view on Jared Lee Lawther is quite different than the caller's was. He was inspired by right-wing beliefs. And it is what we cover. As I said just a few minutes ago, I think you have to understand his Christianity in the context of a defense of the West. That's what he thought he was doing. And there are obviously very many different ways to look at Christianity. And, you know, the Law Center doesn't say that everybody who's a Christian is a terrorist. It's just not true.
Muhammad in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Muhammad.
Hi, good morning, Brian. First of all, I love your show, man. I'm a BBC fanatic. I listen to BBC afterwards and listen to yourself every
Thank
single
you.
Day.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm a Muslim. I'm immigrant from West Africa. I'm in this country almost 24 years. I have 5 children. My first child is going to college next September coming. Anytime I hear about these people advocating that Islam is out here in America or in Europe to destroy your way of life or to destroy your religion, it's unbelievable. I am here. I love this country. I am here. My children sometimes ask me, Daddy, why are all these people making all these negative comments about Islam? I am an American. I said, when you grow up, you will find out yourself why they're making all these comments about Islam. Is not what I want to say is this. Not every single Muslim is out here to get Americans or get Christians. That's not our purpose. Those who carry these terrorisms all over the world, there's not a single word in Islam that are advocate killing innocent people. There's not a single word. Anyone who takes arms upon somebody else, if you kill one person in Islam, you kill the entire world, one life. Your life, you're not entitled to take your own life, much more somebody else's life.
So the, yes, and as you probably know, Muhammad, we've heard this over the years after any terrorist attack that is done in the name of radical Islam. Callers like yourself show up by the dozen to say exactly the same thing. And then people ask, where are the Muslim moderates? But people say, this seems to be, as far as I could tell, it's the predominant thought in Muslim America that that is not really Islam, what bin Laden does and people like that.
It is not. It is like these people have a very, very big things to answer to the Almighty Allah. Yeah. As I said, you are not entitled to take your own life. You didn't give your life. You have no right to take it. Much more 30,000 people or 10,000 people, 5,000 people, innocent kids and children. Yes, not a single, but sometimes I get so sad. Not every Muslim is out here. I love this country very much. 24 years I'm in this country.
Yes, and congratulations on your child going to college. Muhammad, thank you very much for your call. And yet, Scott Chain, there are Muslim extremists out to kill Americans, among others. And Wednesday of this week will be the next of Long Island Congressman Peter King's hearings into Muslim extremism. He was criticized for drawing a unique connection between that religion and terrorism leading up to his past hearings. Does this attack bolster that critique?
Well, I spoke to him over the weekend and asked him whether, his views or his plans were altered in any way by the killings in Norway, and he said no, that he thought his Homeland Security Committee should focus on terrorist threats with foreign ties, which is what he considers. For example, this hearing is going to be about the radicalization of young Somali immigrants and the children of Somali immigrants, in this country, in Minnesota,
that's a nice connection to draw. Just as the UN declares the worst famine in the world in 20 years, taking place in Somalia right now.
He said that the Judiciary Committee might be a better place to take a look at, domestic left-wing or right-wing threats with no foreign ties.
Will he take up right-wing domestic threats? The "could it happen here" question after Oslo.
Well, he suggested that the Judiciary Committee, which is not his committee, his committee is the Homeland Security Committee, might want to take that.
Why does he make that distinction? Because wouldn't this be Homeland Security?
Well, I mean, some people will certainly say that. He seemed to suggest that he said that law enforcement has always been keeping an eye on domestic, the purely domestic terrorist threat, and that so he didn't think his committee should look into that.
All right, one last caller, Gladys in Weehawken. You're on WNYC, Gladys. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Two things. Well, first of all, I think both your guests are right on the money. Spot on. And I mean, actually, the combination of ignorance and hatred make a very bad marriage. And that's what you get on this extreme right radical insanity that we have, that it's festering and that it's destroying the country. And the other thing I wanted to say was I wanted to thank Scott for saying, one of the first times I've heard on the air, he said different from and going farther. And everybody gets those wrong, and he got it right.
Rather than different than and going further?
Different than is, it's not different than, it's bigger than, better than, different from.
Scott?
And also, you're going farther, not further.
Scott,
and he was right.
So, in other words, the country may be going to pot as we get ready to default on our debts. People may be blowing each other up around the world out of hate and ignorance. But at least we've got somebody who gets his grammar right.
Well, he gets his grammar right, and he gets his history right, and he gets his facts right.
Gladys, thank you. And Scott Chain, you get the last word after that.
Well, I appreciate her her comment. I guess what's going to be very interesting is to see whether this whole episode, this tragedy in Norway, in the long run, I mean, there's a lot of emotion flowing at the moment back and forth, but it'll be very interesting to see what effect, if any, it has on the rhetoric about Islam in the West, both in Europe and to me, certainly, especially in the United States.
Well, me and everyone at WNYC appreciate your grammar, too.
Thank you.
Scott Shane, covering the Oslo attacks for The New York Times. Heidi Beirich, Director of Research at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thank you very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, stay with us. When we come back, we will talk about starting your business, the Kickstarter way. Forget about going to the venture capitalists for that big check. How about $25 at a time from the general public to start your cool new product onto its launching pad to success? Stay with us.